RCR with Paul Brennan. Reality Check Radio.
David Henderson is a New Zealand property developer based in Christchurch, an anarcho-capitalist. His business history is well known, and you would know more about that or some of that if you heard the interview we had with Dave some months ago, which got quite a few listens on the RCR website as well as this show. And that was the run-in, well, among other things, with IRD. And we're here to talk about IRD and what the Taxpayers Union have described as the most serious breach of taxpayer information in the English-speaking world. Okay, that's quite a big part of the world. Dave Henderson, welcome back to RCR. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, Paul, thank you. Great to be here again.
Okay, let's just rewind again a bit, sort of set the table for talking about the latest issue, which I just mentioned there. And those are strong words. I mean, the most serious breach of taxpayer information in the English-speaking world. All right. Now, you had a run in with them in the 90s. They wanted you to pay over $900K in GST. You had an epic struggle with them. You were audited 27 times. Just remind us of what happened there, Dave.
Well, look, in terms of setting the table, Paul, people shouldn't forget that the IRD, number one, is the most powerful government department. Right. And two, it's no longer a metaphor that they are a law unto themselves. They literally see themselves as a law unto themselves. And shit, it's a while now, Paul, but since my first major incident, sadly, there's been a number of others since, but where I encountered their willingness just to abuse their authority, number one, and two, the contempt they have for taxpayers, certainly small business owners and operators, but taxpayers generally, utter contempt. So it's no surprise that something like this happens. My situation was they made a claim against me. It was wildly wrong. They refused to back down. And so I decided to hunker down and go the distance, no matter what it took. It took 4 years in that process. They bankrupted me and completely shamed themselves. And then finally, only because I had tape recorded a meeting between myself and a senior official, they ultimately had to back down. I got an apology from the commissioner. Better still, my dear friend Rodney Hyde, who you know well, and without whom I wouldn't have been able to successfully take them on the way I did. He was a member of parliament at that time, and he drove a complete inquiry into the IRD, which saw the commissioner go, deputy commissioner go. And forgive me, but something I was a wee bit proud of is that I got back on my feet. And I bought the IRD's South Island head office in Christchurch, where 500 of these contemptuous people worked, and I renamed it Henderson House. So they had to go for a number of years to work in Henderson House, which I naively thought would remind them that they need to be a bit more careful about their behaviour.
Naively?
And their approach.
Naively, you said.
Naively, yes. Yes, of course. Because I doubt that might have happened for the first couple of weeks. But after that, the contempt seeps back in.
Now, it sounds like in your case, but it's if it was a culture, it would be more than you, that you were seen as guilty first until you prove yourself innocent. Or did they not even worry about that?
No, they didn't worry about that. It was just, I was just fundamentally just a number on a page, and someone had made determination, and it didn't matter who I appealed to, you know, all the way through their management hierarchy, and then, of course, to my local Member of Parliament, who happened to be Jerry Brownlee, who I wrote a book about this, where I subsequently described him as completely useless. Then my book got a lot of publicity when Jerry Brownlee stood up in Parliament, said it was a load of trash and threw it across the floor. A wee bit like what was happening yesterday, which he wasn't too impressed with, I see. I tried every angle, every avenue, every way I could to try and get the matter addressed properly and formally. And I had just resolved, I'm in here, I'm going the distance, I'm not going to back down, and I will pursue every reasonable avenue. And I had always planned that I would report on this, which ultimately did by way of writing a book, so that the average taxpayer in New Zealand can just see the arrogance, the contempt, the disregard for fundamental rights that the department has.
Are they the government stormtroopers in the end?
Well, you know, they are the stormtroopers in terms of New Zealand, you know, because they have so much power. They've spent millions of dollars subsequently trying to make mischief with me. And I used to get appalled because you would see some literally poor corner dairy owner, you know, that had made a screw up with his GST returns that he's probably doing at 1 a.m. when he's finished working, being prosecuted. And I would get sick and tired of the IRD lawyers standing up in court saying, this person has stolen money from the taxpayers, and this is money that would otherwise have built roads and hospitals and all of this nonsense. And I used to, so I'd write to them and say, you know, under the provisions of the Official Information Act, could they please tell me which taxpayers were paying for the millions of dollars they spent trying to chase me and make mischief with me? So I see they've finally given up making those stupid statements in court, which is of some satisfaction to me.
And they like to win, right? They want to win.
Yep. Yeah, and I remember Rodney Hyde asked a question in a select committee where he had an IRD guy in front of him giving evidence, and they were saying that for every dollar they spend trying to beat up a taxpayer, they try and get $2 back. And Rodney asked him the question, well, what happens if you don't get $2 back? And he delightfully said, oh, well, we have to go harder on the next guy.
Oh, okay. Gee, they just switch it to the next guy. Yeah. I think there was a period of time, wasn't there, where it got, I mean, that was serious for you, but where it got really serious, people were actually ending it because they were under so much pressure.
Now, that's when Randy ran his inquiry, what came out of the woodwork was just extraordinary. It was like lancing a boil. And the stories of people committing suicide, their relationships breaking up, their marriages breaking up, their businesses collapsing. And, you know, having been through it, you can have some real empathy for that. You know, they're stormtroopers. You're quite right.
Okay, to the latest issue.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said before, it's being described as the most serious breach of taxpayer information, not just here, but in the English-speaking world.
Yeah.
This is where, despite earlier public assurances that all taxpayer data provided to social media companies was hashed, and for listeners listening, hashing means the process of converting data, text numbers, files or anything into a fixed length string of letters and numbers. The data is converted into these fixed length strings or hash values by using a special algorithm called a hash function. They were providing that data to, well, Meta. Subsequently, IRD have announced it's ceasing sharing taxpayer data with social media platforms like Facebook and Google for targeted marketing, responding to a public backlash from 8,000 taxpayers. In a letter to affected taxpayers, the IRD has said that it had passed on name, addresses, phone numbers, email addresses, postcodes, etc. And let's not forget that we as taxpayers, if we don't provide that information to IRD, we are breaking the law.
No, that's extraordinary, Paul, and totally unacceptable. And unless you were a complete idiot, if you were at IRD involved with this, you must know that this is fundamentally wrong and a problem. And at a minimum, you would have headed off to get some very clear, independent legal advice as to whether this was appropriate. And I can't imagine how anyone could give you advice that it was. Look, you know, I'm particularly sensitive about privacy. And, you know, when it gets to a government organization, they need to be absolutely necessarily on a high state of alert about protecting privacy. I mean, just remember that everything the state does involves force or intrusion anyway. And so as a consequence, they've got an obligation to be ridiculously careful about protecting privacy. And, you know, they clearly weren't in this case, were they? It's unacceptable to say, even to say the IRD did this. This was done by individuals, and those individuals should be named, and those individuals should be held personally accountable for this breach.
Yeah, and you've got to wonder, what do those individuals get from this? What's the incentive to do that?
I know. Well, that's right. Well, they'd certainly get wooed hard by Meta and wined and dined and whatever else as a consequence of this. But, you know, we have seriously strict laws that affect directors of our companies and senior management and employees. You know, if you do something that's stupid, that does affect the company in a significant way. Look at our health and safety laws. If you as a director or as a senior employee fail to take sometimes even steps to ridiculous length, and there is an issue over health and safety in your company, you are personally liable. The directors are personally liable. It's not the company that the state comes chasing, it's the individuals. And that's what it needs to be. If you're going to fix behavior of this kind, which needs to be fixed clearly, and it's endemic, this isn't a, whilst I agree with the Taxpayers Association that it is, you know, egregious, you know, it does happen on a regular basis in a similar vein. You've got to hold individuals accountable.
IRD Commissioner, they tell us, Peter Mercy, said that the Taxpayers Union, we're using this as an example because they've been involved in the story, of falsely accusing IRD of misrepresenting facts, but then it was found that there was a breach and it could have involved up to over a quarter of a million people, and sophisticated hackers can access that hashing data. So egregious is the word you use. There's the other thing. Trust in government, right? I mean, is our data just for sale? Is it there for the advantage of some? Philosophically, it's a real bad space, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I have a view that I live my life as an open book anyway. There's nothing I do or say that I'm not proud to say publicly. But I have a personal life. And if I ever, ever find anyone abusing my personal information, I don't know whether it was tied up in this or not, I don't care what it takes, I'll go the distance. And in fact, as it stands, a case called Henderson versus Walker is the leading authority on breach of privacy right now in New Zealand. And it was a case I took against a former IRD employee who the IRD employed to come after me, who, it's a long story and I'll try and keep it short, who laid a false complaint with the police after the Christchurch earthquakes. The police got a search warrant and seized my computer and a whole lot of other computers related to me, passed them to him quite unlawfully, and then he provided my personal information to the IRD. And when I say personal information, this is stuff on my personal computer, which is health records, personal emails between me and my wife, between other family members, between friends, giving them advice, a whole bunch of stuff. IRD have never apologized to me. I sued the guy involved personally. He lost the case. I got awarded a $5,000 compensation for the breach, which is the story of New Zealand law, unfortunately. I did get costs against him of about nearly 50 grand, but I had spent about 100 grand in costs running the case, as you can imagine. But I'm up for doing that because these people need to be held to account. The police, it took me 4 years with the police. They denied ever anything wrong. A week before court with them, they acknowledged that their search warrant was unlawful. They'd acted improperly. They settled out of court with me for a significant sum of money, and I got an apology from the police commissioner. But I mean, this is the state. This is the state, and their first response always, as you just quoted the commissioner, is, nah, we've done nothing wrong here. And that alone destroys confidence. You know, if there was real integrity in government, these people would be putting their hand up. They were saying, we've screwed up. We've identified the individuals involved. They've all been dismissed and fired and gone, and we're conducting an inquiry, and we're going to sort this out completely. But, you know... but they don't. So,
is that part of the job description, David? Is it that you've got to be prepared to double down in any situation?
Yeah, that's right. And you've got to be prepared to lie and cheat, which is what I obviously experience. Of course, in a civilized society, which we like to think we are, but we're not, you have agencies like the Office of the Ombudsman and the Privacy Commissioner who are there supposedly to champion the privacy and the openness of government. But every single government, Paul, doesn't matter whether it's the current coalition, doesn't matter whether it's Labour, the last ones, they deliberately underfund the offices of the Ombudsman and the Privacy Commissioner. You know, so that you just, you get so frustrated, they get frustrated, you can't make any progress with them, and you throw your hands in the air and the average person gives up.
It kind of feels like, and I don't know too much, I've had a few interactions with the IRD, but, you know, I don't know the history of the department. Obviously, it's been there forever.
You should look forward to a few more in the future, Paul.
Okay. Thank you for letting me know. I'm not on your laptop anywhere, I hope.
Yeah, that's right.
You're not on mine, apart from, hi, how's it going? And let's have dinner. It's like there's a kind of desperate element in there. Is our government so stretched or so worried about getting the revenue in?
Yes.
That they prepared to go to, okay, any level, the limit of getting as much blood out of stones as possible, because it kind of feels like that's the culture. You know,
yeah,
that's the order from on high to IRD.
No, it is. And, you turn up in court even when you're dealing with an IRD matter and you're looking at a judge who's relying entirely on the IRD, not only for his salary, but for his pension another 10 years' time.
That's right,
so,
yeah.
So your chances of getting sympathy out of the courts are pretty limited. So,
yeah, well, they'll stick together, I suppose, in the end.
Yeah, no, it is. It's a reality. And, I mean, let me say, it wasn't universal. In my experiences, I dealt extensively with a lot of people in the IRD. Some of them are pleasant people who do have integrity and have ended up there one way or the other. But there is a serious number of truly nasty people in there who believe that if anyone in business is implicitly a crook and it's their job to expose that, for example. And then that flows, that's a dominant, in my view, a dominant theme in the department.
Do they think they're doing God's work?
Very much. You know, and I'll have them, I've had arguments with them where they would say that, oh, well, without us, there'd be no schools. Without us, there'd be no hospitals. Without us, there'd be no roads. What a load of crap. Without them, there'd be better schools and better roads and better hospitals. Anyway, that's another story for another day.
Another question broadly related. Those members of staff that you're talking about, the ball breakers, let's say.
Yeah.
They tend to be on the left or the right of the political spectrum, do we know?
Look, my experience would be that they would definitely be on the left, and they have a socialist bent. You know, I mean, the essence of socialism is envy. A lot of these people are envy-driven, you know. And I mean, I don't doubt for a second, having seen a lot of these people, that they'd go out to a dinner party or some social event or see someone in the paper, a business person in the paper, crowing about some success they've had. I don't doubt they would be turning on their computer and looking up the name of a man they met, a woman they met, someone in the newspaper, someone who's just moved into their neighborhood, and trying to understand what their financial position was. And of course, they have all those records sitting there.
Oh, I see.
They've got all your details sitting there, Paul.
Yeah, yeah. It's like those people who turn up to your open home who are neighbors.
Yeah, that's right.
No, you know, they just want to see how you're living. That's all they're sticking their noses in for.
Yeah, no, very much so. No, that must go on all the time. The IRD, if anyone from the IRD was responding to this, they'd protest that considerably, but it's horseshit. Yep. It goes on.
Yeah. You mentioned the Ombudsman's office, like being starved, you know, of resources. What about the Privacy Commissioner?
Same thing. Exactly the same thing. Their budget is always minimal. Look, I've had conversations with some of the ombudsman, and they have told me. They say they apologize. They're embarrassed. They say, we just don't have the resources here, you know. But that's, again, that's deliberate. And because government, particularly, you know, the executive branch of government, they don't like giving up details of what they've been up to and what they've had to do to make things happen. So it's an ongoing problem, is that people complain, people rightly use the provisions of both the Official Information Act and the Privacy Act to get information from the state, and they get pissed around by government officials. IRD are the worst in my experience, because I've tried it with a number of organizations. And then, of course, your only right, as they will tell you, is to go to the office of the ombudsman, and you go there and you get in a queue and you take a number and you sit around for the next whatever, waiting for some responses. Yeah, if there was one thing we could do to move things and change things, it would be to see their budget, you know, increase dramatically instead of the IRD's.
Okay, David, let's say it was your task. You were tasked with reforming or sorting out, because there's got to be someone to collect taxes. I mean, we acknowledge that, right? That's a given, is it? Is
it given? I'll acknowledge
you're
it.
You're an anarcho-capitalist, so what does an anarcho-capitalist say about that?
I'll accept that as a proposition. What do you do? Well, I mean, the first thing you recognize, Paul, is that the natural course of these organizations is, you know, they can start off well-meaning, they can start off with a great code of conduct and all of these things. The natural course of things is always that they devolve and they try and take more and more authority, more power, and they become more contemptuous. That is the natural course of it. And you should recognize that right from the outset. I would make individuals in the department personally responsible for any screw-ups, and you would have a serious internal organization that was overseeing misbehavior, and you would have a policy that, you know, if someone like the commissioner starts mouthing off that, you know, this is all nonsense, there's no problem here, whatever, you know, his contract's at an end. He's finished. Right. Unless they've got the integrity to put their hands up from day one and say, we screwed up, you know, heads have rolled and we're putting things right and we're compensating anyone who's been affected, then the organization lacks integrity.
And they don't do that because the consequences aren't there, right? They can just brush it off and...
Exactly.
And life goes on and the salary keeps coming in. And
No, of course they can. And, you know, there's this whole thing, we've got to move to protect ourselves and we can't pretend to be wrong. Of course they can't pretend to be wrong. They're dealing with just about every citizen in New Zealand over the age of, you know, 18, one way or another. They've got their personal information there, their most personal financial information there. And if they're seen to be lacking in the ability to properly look after that, their days are finished. They're at an end.
I don't know the political process. You might know more than me from what you've been through in the past. And so the revenue minister, I guess, has oversight of IRD, and they can probably only say so much. But if I was the revenue minister, I could get the head of the public service in and say, hey, unless he fronts up and apologises, you got to fire him. Now,
he's finished. It's all over.
That would work, though. You could do that, couldn't you?
Oh, yeah, of course, absolutely. That's well within his powers. But the minister knows, as Rodney will tell you, that if he does that, then his whole the whole department will be making his life difficult for
him. Looking into his finances.
Yeah, yeah. They'll certainly be going onto their computers and looking at his tax returns and where he's generating money from and his families. And it's silly to say they won't do that. They're capable of doing that. We know that. And given what's happened with this other transfer of data, they're capable of such activities. But no, the minister should do that. And it's time people got seriously ballsy about these things, Paul.
Why do you think that that doesn't happen? Is this a New Zealand persona problem where we don't want to make any waves, cause any problems, stick our heads, get in the news, anything like that?
No, it's in part because we are mild-mannered. And it's also in part because the nature of the relationship between the minister and his department, where the minister is capable of being set up by his department, embarrassed by his department, and cause political difficulties. So ministers go out of their way to appease the department heads, which again is abhorrent and proves actually that they're not the right person for the ministerial job.
Tell me, if IRD Commissioner Peter Mercy is driving along in his car listening to RCR right now, which is probably highly unlikely, he's probably listening to ZB. Anyway, what would your message be to him and maybe from him on down into the department?
I would say to him, look, the only thing, the only decent thing he can do is to become completely transparent over this, to fall on his sword, to identify the individuals involved, not stand to try and protect them in some way, to hold them accountable, and to give completely transparent explanations to the public, number one. And then two, he's got an obligation to notify everyone affected what happened and be ridiculously contrite about that.
That's 268,000 letters. Because that's how many taxpayers are involved.
Well, who cares? And he needs to do that. And you know, I would think he would struggle to explain why he isn't culpable here, and shouldn't be, after he's done all that, handing in his resignation and heading off to McDonald's for a job application.
Won't be in Wanaka. The resource consent hasn't been approved yet.
Yeah, I see that.
Okay. All right, Dave Henderson, thanks for your insights. Really interesting. Thank you.
Okay, Paul. Thanks once again for your time.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas. From great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more, the RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.